proud we are of this large class of high school graduates. Graduates, I want to give you a few words, and then Dan will speak to you and to the church. Since 1988, in my first pastorate, we have been recognizing graduates. Yes, I remember eons ago sitting where you sit, but since 1988, I've stood here. Some years, in my churches I pastored, there might be one graduate. Some years, we didn't have any, but each time that we did have a graduate, we gave them a gift. Now, those gifts have changed through the years. Some of my first churches, we gave a motivational poster, you know, a cat hanging on to a ledge, and we framed it and said, take this and put it in your dorm room. And one year we gave CDs. That would be a compact disc. You don't even know what they are, but we gave them a CD of Amy Grant or some of the Imperials, great Christian music. One year we gave the graduates a gift card to Walmart. That didn't work out so well. That afternoon, three of them went to Walmart and bought beer. So we only did that once. Then we bought a year subscription, 12-month subscription to a magazine, Campus Life. Don't you know that every university student waited for that Campus Life magazine to come in the mail? We've given books to graduates. Good books like Dr. Seuss, Oh, the Places You Will Go. But I'm grateful that at this church and this morning, we give you each a Bible. Sometimes we say, well, you already have a Bible. You may have several Bibles. I am so glad today that you receive this Bible. The Apostle Paul, writing to his friend Timothy in 2 Timothy Chapter 3, said, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant, that's you, the servant of God will be equipped thoroughly for every good work. God's Word, inspired. More than a poster or a tape, inspired, not like a Walmart card, or not like any other book, the inspired Word of God. Some see this Word of God as simply a book of rules, a book of don'ts, don't, no. I see it, and I hope you see it, as a book of yes. A book of yes, that this is the story of the history of God, of God's work from creation through all of life to today. A yes God who says, I am in charge, I am leading, I am for you. It's a book that says, yes, I have a plan for your life, a plan for life here, abundant, and a plan for life eternal in Jesus Christ. It's a book of yes. Yes, I long to have relationship to you, is what God says in His Word. Relationship through Jesus Christ. Relationship through the person of the Holy Spirit. This book, God's inspired Word for you, is the story of the church. Not always a perfect church. As you read Timothy's words, some of those, or Paul's words, some of those churches were really messed up, but it was God's, the bride of Christ, the church. God's Word, an old covenant which gave way to a new covenant. God's Word, the Bible, a book of truth and hope and grace and forgiveness. A book that will challenge you towards justice and mercy, wisdom, direction, and righteousness. God's Word for me has been a word of comfort, a word of peace, a word of redemption. It is the book of life, a book of yes. Here's my challenge to you, and it's kind of twofold, that you would take this book that is sitting at your pew, that church members have signed and written passages of Scripture that mean much to them, that you will take that Bible, you will take it with you, and you will say yes to it. That you'll take it in your hand. Don't leave it at home. Take it to the Navy. Take it in your hand. take it with you, but then let it move from your hand into your head. It's filled with great, and you're going to learn. You're going to see the power, the lasting power of God's Word. Let those words speak to you in your head. And yes, finally, of course, thy Word I've hidden in my heart. Find God's Word. Let it dwell in your heart. The second challenge when you're reading God's Word and you wonder, don't start reading in Leviticus. Don't do too many Bible studies of Deuteronomy, but concentrate on the words in red. Concentrate on the gospel and the words of Jesus Christ. Red letters will guide you and challenge you and change you and will help you change us. I believe you are the greatest generation. I believe that you will change our world, our communities, unlike any other group. Psalm 119 is a verse that I highlighted in each of your copies of Scripture. It says, God's Word is a lamp for your feet. And it's a light for your path. Walk in the light. And next to your scripture this morning, I've chosen a special scripture just for you. As I've looked and listened and learned from you, I have found a scripture that to me epitomizes you and hopefully will challenge you. God's Word, inspired. Walk in it and let it change you. We're proud of you. We thank God for you. That's my challenge. Dan?
I'm walking up here with a phone, a notebook, and a Bible. It sounds like the beginning of a bad joke. So, I would be remiss first if I didn't address these seniors first before the church. But in a way, seniors, you are the church now. Like, you are a part of this. You are no longer the youth anymore. You are people that are now serving as opposed to being served. And we're excited because take a look around. I mean, there are not many people here this morning. And that's because we know that this world right now is a place that is uncertain about the future, a place that we don't have a lot of answers every day. And how fitting is it that we have such a large group of people ready to go out into that world and to be with those people who need someone to show them where hope is, where peace is. I'm grateful for y'all. Y'all get to be part of the church too. So do that. But as to the congregation, as Mark just said, read this book. This book is important. Everybody, we need to read this book. So let's hear some words from Jesus then. Let's read John 5, verse 39 through 40. John 5, verse 39 through 40. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Eugene Peterson in the Message version says this, you have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there. But you miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me. And here I am, standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive from me that life you say you want. So what is this book? And why do we give it to seniors whenever they graduate? You know, how we hold this book and how we look at this book says a lot to these students on how they're supposed to look at this book. As Mark said, the red letters are very, very important. But what we need to remember, what Jesus is asking us to remember is that this is a book. There are a lot like them on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. You know, this was printed in a factory somewhere. But what is unique about this book, and the reason that we give it to y'all, is because there are no group of words that have ever, are, or will be written that will only always speak to who Jesus Christ is. These words in this book testify to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace. There is no other book like it. Church, you and I, we are obligated to care for students. Because in as little as a month for some of these, and for our other youth, as little as 6 years, 6 years sounds like a long time, but it's really not, they are going to be gone from this church, along with our opportunity to care for them under this literal roof of sanctuary. We are obligated to care for them because shortly they are going to go out there. And we have seen out there. And we know that out there is not always as nice as in here. They're about to go from knowing what the answers are to having to explain why those are the answers and why they believe those things. They are transitioning from Jesus asking them, who do people say that I am, to, but who do you say that I am? That's a tough place to be sometimes. And we are giving them a book that points them to Jesus. May we be a church, may we be a group of people that says, in all of this world that can be chaotic, may we always remember that salvation is not found here, but in the words where they point. In the words testimony, that is where salvation is found. And we get to point them there. That's our obligation, and we're sending those people out into the world. They have in their hands or pocket, wherever right now, every word that could ever be spoken, every word that could ever be written, that they could ever read. And it's pointing to a lot of different things. And they're going to always try to be figuring out where to look. This tells them where to look. This tells them where life is found in this world. Let's pray. Lord, we look a lot of places for life. Father, may we be moved to always look for you first and foremost. God, may our foundation be built on you and you alone, Lord, because your foundation, Lord, does not move, it does not shake, it stands throughout time, it stands throughout history. It is the one consistent thing in the midst of inconsistency. Amen.